There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
You know what I miss about being a working actor, besides like the status and the money?
And the working.
Yeah. Is I miss the stories from hair and makeup.
Oh, hair and makeup. They know all. They are the oracles of any single production.
They have the best stories because
they see these people.
I'm going to call celebrities these people.
Sure. Makes sense.
They see them at their most vulnerable. And I started looking through, like, I saw a picture of Shia LaBeouf recently.
Ooh, you know, he got a big tattoo for a movie role in the movie Bombed, but he still has the tattoo.
That's called keeping the memory inside of you. But in my mind, do you think that Shia LaBeouf is smelly?
I think that Shia LaBeouf will smell bad on purpose.
Yes.
As an image, as a look, as a vibe. But I also think he's just one step away, one spritz away from an assistant to smelling wonderful.
Some kind of cologne. But there are certain actors that I know, that I've heard tell, are very smelly.
I believe
it. And I wonder which actors... John Voight, is he smelly?
I would assume he's smelly.
You know who's famously smelly?
Who?
Angelina Jolie.
I believe that to be true because she shops on her friend Gwyneth Paltrow's website, Goop! And there is nothing on there that actually makes you smell good.
And Brad Pitt was also very famously smelly.
It smells like Gwyneth Paltrow's orgasm in here. Is that Angelina? Oh, don't cross the streams.
But I wonder who else is smelly that we don't know about. But I want a good sleeper smelly. Like one you wouldn't think is smelly, like Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis in the news. There's no way he smells. What's up, everyone? Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben, hanging out with the non-smelly Henry Zebrowski. I don't have heat in my house. I don't have heat in the water. I don't have hot water in my home.
So you don't have a bath, and
so
you can't make soup.
And I can't make soup unless, of course, you put it there on the old stove. But anyway, I might be a little bit on the John Voight spectrum.
You are
not
smelly.
When it comes to odor, thank you very much.
I can't smell you. You always smell surprisingly neutral.
Well, thanks so much
about
that.
You and Holden McNeely. Holden McNeely smells like a cleaned knife.
Well, that's what happens when you never go outside. You can't get pollution all over your hair. You can't get sweat all over your clothes because you don't actually do anything. But I want to tell you this story, Henry. You know, speaking of sweat, you know who sweats? Professional wrestlers. They sweat because they work out so much.
Oh, that's why?
And professional wrestlers, they could also sweat. This is my story of the week, and I just want to let you know because you didn't know about this story.
No.
And I want to inform the audience and you. I'm just kind of jumping right into the deep end. Okay. Marty Jannetty. Remember what he was?
Nope.
He was with the Rockers. And who was he with? Who was the tag team? You know the guy.
The Broth Brothers.
Not the Broth Brothers. No, that was an Italian. That's an Italian soup tag team that would drown their opponent in chicken noodle soup.
Ralph. And
it was Shawn Michaels.
Shawn
Michaels and Marty Jannetty, the Rockers. This was technically your time where you should have been watching this. You were 9 or 10 years old.
I like The Undertaker.
You are absolutely incredulous. Marty Jannetty has admitted to burning a body after murdering a man when he was a teenager. This is a real story. He said it on Facebook. So you know it's real.
You're yelling at me and I don't know because you're gonna teach me. This is one of those. You know what I want from you, Kissel, during this moment? This is like Michelle Pfeiffer going to the inner city school. You got to turn your seat around. Relate to me. Teach me.
Well, my friend, it is like that. If it wasn't Amish Paradise, which is always a more powerful song to me than Gangster's Paradise in many ways, which is why Coolio did have a feud with Weird Al Yankovic.
Gangster's Paradise was my anthem of the street when I was a little boy in Queens.
Honestly, it's a great song. It really is a great song. And thank you so much, white woman, for being such a brave, brave person and going into a room full of other people who obviously felt safe enough to be there.
Honestly.
But wow, did she go to an area where there weren't a lot of white people? And did she get applauded and awarded? Yes, she did.
It was
for
a
bravery.
It
you know,
still
a lot of people
movie.
Live there.
It was
a lot of people
movie.
Just live there.
But Edward James Olmos was in that other movie where he had to teach the math.
That was actually a movie that was very frustrating. We watched that in school, and the teacher that I had was not nearly as good as Edward Ames, James Olmos. And I was like, well, maybe you should almost go back to school
but
because
you
suck
teach
as a
me,
teacher.
Man. You got to teach me because how can I stand if they
Marty
can't
Jannetty
reach me?
Marty Jannetty was getting raped when he was 13 years old by a man.
Wow.
And in order to stop that from happening, Marty Jannetty burned him alive and killed him. But this is what he had to say.
How big was he?
He was a 13-year-old boy, Henry.
But how big is he now?
He's big now. Now he's actually small again because he's older, and now his muscles have sort of, they're sagged. Sort of decrepit, they're saggy.
Like Lex Luthor has those like big old swinging titties.
Well, he can't walk anymore.
Yeah, that's not good.
Marty Jannetty is, yes, after Shawn Michaels sort of took off, Shawn Michaels was the alpha, he was the beta.
No, it's Marco, is it with the G-I-A?
It's G-A-N-N-E-T-Y, Jannetty. Marty Jannetty sounds like a country singer, and God knows he could sing a tale about this story. So this is what he had to say after he posted on Facebook. He says, you know, once the police got involved, I don't want to say police, once the GBI, which is the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, got involved, it got serious, and I was trying to set up a storyline. This is after he admitted to killing this person on Facebook. He says, I have to say that right now, because you know, it was 40 years ago, meaning he is 53 years old now.
This is my question.
And you
all
know
right,
what
so
kills, this, I'm reading the quote.
I know, but it starts with, he posted on Facebook saying, I killed a guy when I was 13.
After he was?
Molest.
Raping him. Okay. They say, he says, and you know what kills me? This is according to Marty Jannetty, now 53 years old. He said, they don't care about the 13-year-old getting raped. It's like, oh, you killed somebody. What do you think he was going to do after he raped me? Because so many rape victims get murdered afterward. This is Marty Jannetty talking here, okay?
I'm frightened of you.
Okay, he says, I was 13 years old. 13! You know, as grown-up kids or any kids listening to this, you say what you think.
I'm finally seeing this picture of Marty Jannetty.
That's Marty.
Look at that hair.
He's a beautiful man. But when it actually happens, I didn't expect that reaction. I hit him with a brick. It was a brick. It was a piece of concrete. It was a concrete thing. And you know, if you hit someone in the temple, very vulnerable. Evidently, I hit him too hard, and he died right there.
So he is just straight up admitting to murder.
After it was self-defense, and Jannetty said he was 13 years old, and he killed this person. The former rocker said that he should have called the cops, but quote, in the moment, I was like, oh shit, I gotta hide the body.
He's right.
He is right. The former WWE superstar took exception to how the police focused on the murder and not what was happening with him regarding the sexual assault. So they said,
but wait a second. So they tried to investigate at the time?
No, when he posted on Facebook. This was completely unsolved. It doesn't sound like anybody missed this person who evidently was a horrible scumbag that Marty Jannetty killed.
It sounds like the incomprehensible ranting of someone that first posted, I killed a guy when I was 13 and no big deal, you know, that kind of thing. And then the next thing they're saying that like cell phones carry COVID and that, you know, like 5G, Trump's a balloon. 5G.
Don't think about that. Marty Jannetty said he doesn't like being called a murderer because he was trying to avoid, again, the sexual assault. And then he says, how about it if I was on top of your daughter? Would you murder me? He said. So he put himself in the situation there.
I don't want to think about that. And I'm just thinking about him fucking Wendy.
But Jannetty, do not do that. That's actually illegal for you to think about.
I don't want to.
Marty Jannetty said, I have a storyline that he tells the police department. So he's pretending that it's kayfabe, but it's not kayfabe. It's a real story. But he is pretending when he talks to the police that like, yeah, this is kind of one of the fun angles that Vince had.
It's like a bit.
It's a bit, but it's not a bit. He said,
so now he's doubling down and saying it wasn't a bit now
again.
But
he also does it all like, this is the storyline. Okay, so he says, me and my nephew poured gasoline on the body and we watched it burn up.
Whoa, he said, how old was his nephew when he was 13?
Well, probably around the same age.
Whoa.
Okay, he said the entire body didn't burn, and quote, there were so many bone things that we dug a hole and put the bones in there.
It's just called bones.
It's called bones. He later said, here's what sticks with me. A 13-year-old boy was getting raped, and you're mad at him? You know what it comes down to? If people just want to make people feel better about themselves, he said the problem is not whether the murder happened or not. It doesn't matter because, quote, all people want to do is put MJ down. He's talking about himself, Marty Jannetty.
Oh, they're talking about Michael Jordan.
No, he's not Michael Jordan.
Michael Jackson technically should have been murdered himself.
Possibly.
If all of these rules hold.
All people want to do is put MJ down. You're a murderer, 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 murderer. You try to put your dick in my ass and you'll be next. That's how he ended the quote.
But
he
I
said,
understand.
You try to put a dick in his ass and you'll be next.
Oh, so okay. Now, this is my question. This feels like the personification of one of those Twitter hacky joke structures where it says no one, colon, and then that entire paragraph. Where, well, like, who
that's
is...
That's what he said. So
is
this
there
is,
a gang of people saying, like, we want Marty Jannetty's truth? Like, is there people out there fighting for him? Or is he... It seems is, like this I'm is a one-man storm.
This is an unforced error by Marty Jannetty, because the police weren't investigating.
No.
But obviously he has trauma from whatever
Absolutely.
Happened.
Absolutely. I'm certain that if he was getting R'd by this dude and he had to go and he had to murder him, that must have been a big ol' afternoon for him.
It must have been horrible. You don't expect to pour gasoline on a human body, light it aflame, and then be like, well, no, what do we do with all the bones?
Yeah,
really,
not for
you're
free.
Just creating work for yourself and you don't even know that.
Yeah,
you're
you just created a whole horrible job, because hacking up a human body, as we've learned, is actually very difficult.
Extremely difficult. Anyway, that was my little wrestling tale, and what a way to start the show. I should have said trigger warning or something like that, because it was a pretty intense story.
There's a lot of themes in there.
A lot of themes in there, but Marty Jannetty, if you go back and watch some of his matches from the early 90s when he was with the Rockers, really fantastic tag team, and he carried Shawn Michaels for a long time, and then Shawn obviously excelled past him and became perhaps the greatest in-ring performer of all time.
But. Shawn Michaels, top. Marty Jannetty bottom.
At this point, yes. But of course, Shawn Michaels was able to survive because all of that was consensual. He said that was basically it. So that's Marty Jannetty. And strangely enough, in true professional fashion, professional wrestling fashion, he's really milking it.
We could
probably get him on here.
I would love to speak with him about this, because I'd love to know where the body is, and I'd love to see the body. And
all
I'd love
that
we were the show that it got broke on, and that we solved the crime, and we vindicated Marty Jannetty, and that me and you and Marty Jannetty goes out.
He's not going away. He's not going away.
We can go pedophile hunting right now, if you want.
Oh, my God. I would love that. Why not a good... We have the Nazi hunting movies. Is there a good pedophile hunting movie? Because this is the ultimate fantasy, right?
You know why? It's because Nazis create more dramatic tension, because they fight back. Where a lot of times pedophiles, the reason why they choose children is because
Weak.
The kids don't fight back.
I actually have been in a YouTube hole of Chris Hansen's To Catch a Predator.
Man, and it is always a surprise.
It is really phenomenal. One person damn near finished a full pizza. Sitting there talking to Chris Hansen.
Meanwhile,
because he brought the pizza.
Hey, man.
And he's like, I'm
going
to have it.
There must be a little frame of your mind that says, this is going to be the last piece of pizza I'm going to have for a long time.
For a long time. Of course, also on a side note, speaking of prison and prison reform, Larry Lawton. Check out Larry Lawton on YouTube, his special on Kodak Black. Kodak Black is not doing well right now in prison. He's going up to the federal penitentiary.
Ooh.
And
what did he do?
I'm not sure what the crime was. He's only in there for 48 months, so it can't be that big of a deal. But he was, they quartered, but they take both your arms and they put them up over your head.
Oh.
They shackle your feet.
Jesus.
And then Larry Lawton said that officers took out their penises and peed all over him and spit on him, and it's horrible and it's a violation of the Eighth Amendment. Anyway.
Honestly, you could do all of this to a person without physically touching them by just making them watch the Twilight film series. They really want to torture these people. I say go mental.
Leave the
physical behind.
Well, speaking of cases that are being solved, we do have, I guess this is an update, isn't it?
Well, this is an update. I believe we covered this when this was first when this first broke, is the story about a man named Joel Guy Jr. who he chopped up his parents viciously. This is in good old Knoxville, Tennessee, and boiled the mom's head into a mush because they were about to cut him off financially. He is a 32-year-old man. The only way to describe as the way I would look at him as the mascot for 8chan, besides the man that is Q, who has a Colonel Sanders mustache.
Really?
But
that's a great stash, to be fair. He also
sucks up the juices.
Oh, secret recipe. He also looks like our good friend Danny Tamborelli.
He really
like
does
too
look
much
like
little
Danny
Pete,
Tamborelli.
Our boy. Make sure to listen to his podcast, The Adventures of Danny and Mike. All right.
Now, this story, this way, he is being accused of a allegedly chopping up his parents, but it seems like he did it. He boiled his mother's head in a saucepan and attempting to dissolve both their bodies in acid. Now, he has straight up, they're going to the trial sequence now, and I watched about an hour of the trial that is now live on WVLT Knoxville News, which is harrowing and very sad.
Wow.
Essentially, he's
just
straight
when I
up
thought
saying
C-SPAN was boring. That
no,
sounds exciting.
It is exciting because it's straight up Knoxville. Because all people are like, we're going up now by the holler, and the first thing Joel Michael said was that
Joel Michael. I mean, I'll tell you what, I never had a even close relationship with Joel Michael because he always was in his room with the video games.
Oh, that's the thing. The middle name in the South is actually a very prominent name. And I kind of like that, to be honest.
Well, it depends.
You know what I would be? Benjamin Grant.
Benjamin Grant, that would have been you if you played basketball.
Yes, and you would be Henry Thomas.
Well, Henry Thomas.
Technically, our middle names are much more prestigious than our last names.
I think so. But Henry Thomas, the reason why I was called Henry Thomas is because I was a junior. So you had to delineate.
Ah.
So, in case my father ever made love to my mother, the same name wouldn't come out of her mouth.
That is so gross to
It's disgusting.
About.
That's what you have to do. You have to cover it. Okay. But they're saying now that he had a plan. But now Joel Michael is saying, I want to be executed. He is giving the courts permission, saying, I want you to kill me when this is done, which always just shows these are the people that ask for execution are always the most attention hungry bitches to live.
And you know what? Much like people who want to see UFOs, often they don't get the thing they desire.
They don't.
It is worse. The thing about the death penalty, I was thinking about this yesterday as I was lying in bed staring at Jerry's eyes. The thing about the death penalty is you're already given a death sentence. You're going to die. Most people die around 60 in prison.
No, you get to go You get to live a nice life, technically. You get to go.
Not really.
If you can bide your time in a nice jail, if you are in a good prison, you could go, you read, you work out, you don't have to worry about fucking paying rent.
Did you not see any of Oz? Also, you do have
Oz
to pay rent.
They amped up the drama. In Oz, especially when that guy shit in the other guy's mouth.
I don't know if they did. Have you watched Prison Stories?
No, I don't.
Also, look at this guy.
I am not being
prison. This guy is going to be... This man is going to
be turned over.
He will be a holster. He will be what a cup is on your teacher's desk where they put the pens. But they are not pens, my friend, and he is not a cup.
I don't agree with that. But but you're right. They don't normally get that because when it comes down to it, juries don't want to give somebody who brutally murders an elderly couple and decapitates them and dismembers their body. Don't want to give them exactly what they want. Now, what you're seeing is the story that gets played out here is essentially Joel Guy Sr.
Yes.
Gets married to a new lady, his new wife, Lisa Guy. They are madly in love with each other. Why are you laughing?
I don't know. The last name Guy. My name is Lisa Guy. It's kind of fun. I don't know. Yes.
I'm sorry.
I love it. I love it. Why do you think, we'll get back to the story here, but why do you think a child feels the right to kill their parents? Because obviously the old joke is, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. That's an old parents joke.
Yes. I'll make one just look just like you.
And then if kids do it, they say, I didn't want to be born in the first place. You made this happen. I wonder what the psychology is of child killers. Side stories, LPOTL@gmail.com. If you're a psychiatrist, what's their motivation? Do they think that they have control over their parents so it doesn't matter if they kill them?
I think they're what you'd call a shit fuck entitled nerd. And that there are whole jobs that they believe sort of that he should be taken care of and sit and eat the food. The one thing, because
he's 32.
Watching Joel Michael in the hearing is like, you can just see it. He sits there. He's got the only way to describe it, it's like Danny DeVito penguin hands. So he gets the thing, and he's not different. It's not like he's not shaped different. His hands are just like two clammy fish. He picks up this little bottle, and you can see him go he rolls his eyes and just drinks his little bottle of water and then crushes it. He's got this fucking face shield on, which makes him look even dumber.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at this series of injuries.
Okay.
Joel Guy Sr.'s. His hands were severed at the wrist.
Jeez.
His arms were severed at the shoulder blade. His legs were removed at the hip, and his right foot was removed at the ankle. In here says the evidence showed that there was a fierce struggle when he fought for his life. Lisa Guy was stabbed 31 times. The stabbing caused 21 severe injuries, severed 9 of her ribs, and left several stab wounds in her buttocks. What you're going to see here is that this happened over Thanksgiving weekend last year.
What?
So they were supposed to sit him down over Christmas and say, we're cutting you off. We want to enjoy your retirement. They had been working up until...
Well, this was in 2016.
It was in 2016. Yeah. They were working up until then, right? They were ready to retire. They wanted to stop.
Oh.
And they said, basically, Joel Michael, we can't afford your lifestyle anymore of raising you.
What? I don't understand
this. Because you have
done
been raised.
I will never understand the people who don't want to leave the home.
I don't know. I fucking was so out so fast.
So fast. I remember asking if I could leave at 14, 15. I was like, can I go, please?
I don't know. But I know that there's a lot of people nowadays, it's financial hardships because especially during this time period.
But those people...
That's
want
different.
To leave.
They want to yes. leave. They want to leave, and it's very difficult for them to leave because there's no jobs.
Of
but
course.
This guy, he was totally chill to stay there. And we know that there is a plan now, which is what they're trying to argue, because originally they were trying to say that it was a heat-of-the-moment argument, and he flipped out.
Oh, but my actually, God. You don't behead someone and disjoint their legs and arms and the heat. At some point, doesn't the heat cool, and you find yourself like, how did I get here?
I mean, I think that does happen quite a bit. But his notes were stuff like very handy stuff like he had a little note that said, get killing knives, flush chunks down toilet, not garbage disposal, body gives time of death, alibi. And then the top of his to-do list said, kill him with knife, and then kill her with knife. And then the very back, they argued that Joel Michael's motive was financial. His notes documented phrases like her assets, her life insurance, $500K, possibly more, and money all mine. I get the whole thing.
He just wrote that.
He just on his wrote journal. It out.
This is according to Knox County Sheriff's Office Detective Jeremy McCord. He labeled his findings as, quote, the most horrific thing I've ever encountered in police work in my life. He goes on to say, blood was everywhere on the walls and the floor. So this
Lisa
was
Guy's
absolutely
clothing.
Brutal.
Lisa Guy's clothing was cut up from her after a murder. Her legs were severed below the knees. Her Jeez. Arms were severed at the shoulder. And then they found Lisa Guy's head was removed from her spine after blunt force trauma was allegedly applied to her neck. And then her severed head was discovered in a pot boiling on the stove.
Okay, so how exactly was he going to make this look like natural causes to insurance?
He was just trying to get rid of them because I'm going to say, number one, he wasn't very bright.
No, I'm going to agree with you on that.
And
yes.
Number two, I think that he was also not very motivated.
You know what it reminds me of? Perhaps he was a Green Day fan. Do you remember Kerplunk,
the liner notes.
The liner notes. There was a story of somebody dismembering their parents.
But that was cool back then.
It was great. It was a story.
But we were 15,
and then I looked at my
14.
Father and I was like, I didn't do it. Because
nice guys finished last. Now you run out of gas.
Which is actually not true. Nice guys often finish first. It's
look at Jeff Bezos.
Don't be taken advantage of. Yep. You can still be very nice.
Yeah, I guess so. Nice is not necessarily mean weak, but nice is not necessarily the best quality. Shoot for kind.
According to Major Michael McLean, this is with the Sheriff's Department, he called the crimes very, very rare. Thank God. Otherwise, they have a horrible town, and they desperately need to just burn the whole thing to the ground.
I'll tell you what, ever since we opened the portal to hell and the ghouls became both the head of accountancy and the head of civic unions, I want to say the town has really gone downhill.
Yes. He goes on to say, it is in the 1 percentile of homicides in the United States that involve mutilation or dismemberment. It's not something we run across. He goes on to say, usually there's a motivation behind it. In this case, we just don't know what it is.
It was money. It was money, and I'm going to say doofusism?
Doofusism
can
kill.
He's a piece of shit.
Well,
so we'll see what happens. The trial now is getting kicked off. So take a look at this footage. It's very interesting and also heartbreaking to watch this family kind of spell out the story of a person that sounds all too familiar. Joel Michael, he never joined the family in any way, shape, or form. He just sat in his room and played video games.
32.
Slowly but surely, his soul atrophying. And I'm pro video games.
I love video games. I'm playing Mad Max from 2015 right now. It's been a great relief.
It's not the video games that are the problem. The problem is this sort of, I mean, it's obviously a violent form of depression that had taken over him, but he obviously also was not taking a lot of steps to fix his situation.
I don't even know. He may have not been depressed. He thinks that he can just get away with this and do this, and he has the right.
I honestly think he thinks he's a little supervillain.
This is a good buffer story here for you, Henry, because I know how you're working on your erections. Apparently,
I'm working on my erections?
You're working on getting them bigger, yeah. A security flaw at
I mean, I'm always. If anybody has a source, and I'm not saying
popsicle
everyone says
sticks.
They all say popsicle sticks, tugging on it with weights. And listen, it can't take that much weight.
No, it can't. You've seen those videos of the people that do that.
And you
but
have
those
to be-
dicks cannot get hard anymore. So all the ladies who are like, oh, look at that long 17-inch flaccid penis. It doesn't get hard.
Some girls like it. What's called, it's called pooling a lasso. When you just pull the long, thin stuff and you just kind of try to shove it in, like when you kind of put a bunch of tissues in a glove compartment in the car.
Apparently, there was a security flaw, and this is just for you, Henry. I'm reading this just for you.
Why is this for me?
Because I think it's important for you. A security flaw in a high-tech chastity belt, it's for men, made it possible for hackers to remotely lock all the devices in.
I let my penis stay free range. I don't put it in jail. That penis needs to stay. My underpants is enough of a jail for it.
So apparently you shove your cock into this extreme machine. They show, like, did you see this photo, this video? Henry, look at this video.
No, I know.
It's got a
you
full
have to
keyboard.
Saw it off. So they're discovering there's like a hacking flaw that you can hack into it and lock it permanently, all devices at once.
Yes.
Which is talk about the great cuckening of 2021.
So the problem is, according to Alex Lamas, he is a researcher at a tech firm. He says the problem is that manufacturers of these other toys sometimes rush their products to market. And what do we know about sex? Take it slow and low, like barbecue. All right, everything is about barbecue. I don't know if that's true at all either. He goes on to say most of the problems.
I thought you were going to do. You can only get it three ways. It's like, you know, good, fast, or cheap. You can only get a 2 out of 3. I think that also applies.
I'll take it. I'll go good. Why not? That's the safest answer there. Most times the problem is a disclosure of sensitive personal data, but in this case, you can get physically locked in with your cock. Just, isn't that bad?
This is what I honestly, why does the castration cup have to go digital? I know it's 2020.
I don't know.
And we're trying to blaze our way into the future of the three body problem. But my question is, can't just something stay analog? Is it less hornier for you, the people that want to put the chastity cages on? Why don't you just have like a one that's got a simple padlock, or one that, you know, and then your lover can keep the key on them at all times?
My understanding is this might be used in prisons. So this is according to
Is that legal?
I think it might be somewhat used in prison, but also not exclusively. This is according to a TechCrunch reporter who is so happy to get this beat. What a great day at the office. It noted that one online reviewer who appeared to have got locked in due to an unrelated bug posted that he had been, quote, left with a bad scar that took nearly a month to recover.
Oh, on the top of your dick?
I guess.
But where do you see the information that they're being used in jails?
It is literally called the QE's cellmate chastity cage.
Are you just saying the word cellmate? Because cellmate, I think, to them is sexy.
The cage wirelessly connects to a smartphone via Bluetooth. Okay, maybe it's not used for prisoners.
I think it's just called cellmate because a cellmate is like, to them,
something that grabs your penis.
People like that. People want a cellmate. And if you are having the chastity cup on your penis, you want to be a cellmate.
It's just, it's a big clunky thing.
It just seemed like a lot of work.
I just, you know, get on Wellbutrin. That'll kill your boner. You don't even need to use this very bizarre cup holder.
You don't even need any of that. Just watch Robin's Wish on the documentary.
Oh, is that about Robin Williams?
Yeah.
Somebody sent me a message. Apparently, I was very mean to Robin Williams on an episode about 8 years ago, but he was still alive, so.
I can't believe that.
I know.
How dare you? Eight years ago?
I love him. I love him. He made a scarf into a babushka.
I remember the scarf into a babushka thing, and they're all like, he can do anything.
He can do anything.
He can. He could.
All right.
This next video right here, this next story comes all the way from Japan. This is a very interesting story about a serial killer that is now admitting to killing, it seems to be, 9 people in an apartment near Tokyo.
Ooh.
This comes from the Kyoto News. This is in Tachikawa, Japan. A Japanese man pleaded guilty Wednesday to murdering and dismembering and storing the bodies of 9 people in his apartment near Tokyo in a 2017 case involving victims who had expressed suicidal thoughts on Twitter, which I actually think is most of the Zoomer generation. So this guy is about to kill all 19-year-olds on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a, it is very strange because they're trying to argue it now. He's going into trial. He killed 8 women and 1 man aged 15 to 26, and they seem to have found his body parts in his house.
But they're saying it's with their consent?
Yes, they're saying that people, he basically searched for people asking and wanting to commit suicide online. There's okay. one story of a woman that came out and said that she posted saying she was looking for someone to join her in killing herself. The message said that she was, quote unquote, scared of dying alone. He answered, apparently, and this is the person they found. They found the body parts of this young woman.
Okay.
He went online by the name, his account name could be loosely translated as Hangman, and he would invite people that expressed suicidal thoughts to his home, and then he would kill them.
And I'm assuming this is illegal in Japan, much like it's illegal here, or was it's, it? Is this one of those Kevorkian cases? Is anyone for the betterment of the people?
They are pretty handedly saying that he is a serial killer, and that
his MO, he's making it up. You think
it's not that he's making it up? It's the fact that how can you tell anybody's true emotion, true motives, and true ideas versus what they say online versus what they end up doing in life?
Right.
I think that there is a natural divide. I think that there is a little bit more of the memification of depression that happens on the internet, where it's a little bit, and also it's a place where you can anonymously share your feelings. And then maybe you do take the next steps. A man named Hangman says, like, well, I can do that for you, and let's meet up. But in your mind.
Yeah, we've seen these kind of stories before, but usually on the deep web.
Yes, because there was that famous German man that killed somebody and ate somebody, and he got away with it because he showed all, he had the receipts. This guy, it seems like it's a little bit more, I want to say the arrangement was a little bit more casual. And when people arrive to be quote unquote murdered or being having assisted suicide, I imagine that is one thought that you have, maybe. But maybe the other thought too is, oh, we're all in a scenario, kind of like what happened with Cannibal Cop.
Right.
We're in a collective fantasy, and we're talking about this subject, and then in the end...
He just bought too much stuff that went along with the story, though, because wasn't he found with some rope, and he was looking at databases
but then it turned out it was all fake. The databases was what was illegal, is that he was a fucking cop, and he used cop databases to extend his fantasy.
That's not
this
right.
This guy is... You know, so you show up and maybe, you know, like you want to kill yourself. But maybe the other thing is you kind of want to find somebody that relates to you and you want to talk about this kind of shit. And then this guy is just a fucking serial killer preying upon people that are very vulnerable.
He also apparently he would steal cash from the victims. He owed one of the women around 360,000 yen. How much money do you think that is, Henry?
Oh, man.
If you just had to get, I mean, I have the number right here so I can seem smart.
I think it's like $1,000.
$3,410.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that really something?
No, that's very something.
That's still something. What do you think? The older I get, I watched the Kevorkian documentary.
Yes.
The older I get, the more I'm thinking, do you need help with this?
What do you mean?
The people who he suicided.
Yes.
They weren't ALS. They could still move.
But the
So I just feel like
there's this kind of natural, it's like a divide of a doctor is doing it. So it's not as
I think
tawdry.
If you're going to do it, you have to do it yourself. Not that Kevorkian, he also started reading his own press, and I think the reason he got convicted was cuz he was so far up his own ass.
Well, he liked the celebrity status.
I think that he may have been able to get away with it if he didn't do it the way that he did it.
I feel like if you are terminally ill, why can't you bop out? You know, they kind of give you, I mean, this is obviously, I feel like I just walked into a fucking deep political minefield.
Well, as a matter of fact, Doug Stanhope, he has a great bit about killing his mother.
Oh, that's an incredible, incredible story. And the book is also incredible. But that was informal. And that was about him and his family, and it was very personal. I believe that you should be able to choose if you want to go out or not. The same way I think that you should be able to choose to have an abortion if you want. I think that you should be allowed to do these things because it's your fucking body. But, you know, who am I? Just some kind of Satanist on a fucking podcast. Look at my tiny shorts.
He's
Nobody's
Polish.
Calling me into fucking to be on the Supreme Court.
No, no, no.
But I'll tell you what, I get on there, I'll make some fucking changes.
You think you do just wonderful on the court.
Oh, I love long meetings.
I think that that is great. Anyway, I don't know. I'm just very conflicted the more that
I watch.
Oh,
it's very conflicting.
Because I don't like Dr. Kevorkian. The interviews, I was like, you're really not a likable guy. I guess that's to be expected.
He kills people for a living.
I guess that,
he's like,
but at the same time, like, even Ronald Reagan, who killed thousands, you know what he would do?
Smile.
Give out jelly beans. He would give out jelly beans, and everyone would be like, oh, thank you, Ronald. The Iran-Contra doesn't
Sell
matter.
Sell it to me.
Give me that sugar. So the guy in Japan is going to trial and for 9 months.
Yeah, he's okay. That's about to start. We're going to hopefully cover that as that increases, but what a chilling story. Don't meet anybody online. I mean, honestly, no, I'll take that back. Meet people online, but not for assisted suicide, because remember, number one, they're never going to help you commit suicide. You're just going to get murdered. I know you're showing up to have a conversation. That's what you really mean. And then these just end up killing you. And number two, they're never a hitman. They're always a cop. It's never a child prostitute. It's always a tiny cop.
Or Chris Hansen.
Who, not more. Not He's kind of also slid.
No, he just got in trouble for writing bad checks, which I actually thought was adorable.
I mean, when it
who
comes
writes
down to
checks?
It, to me, if you are writing a check and it's not to like...
Are you Big Lebowski?
Yeah, if you're just in a normal store writing a check, then that person is in financial trouble.
Yes. Yes, and going back to a Ronald Reagan quote, trust but verify. Who are these people? Show a picture of the newspaper next to your head. Let me know you're real.
Is that a Ronald Reagan?
Yeah, he was talking to the Soviet Union. Yeah. Trust and verify.
I'm really glad how pro Reagan today has gotten. What a fun day on the podcast.
Did you
it's
expect
really
that
help
for
our-
your Tuesday? Huh?
No, I didn't. I really just love our leftist listeners going,
oh, by today's standards, he's a crazy liberal.
Oh,
so
my God. Oh, Lord. Just fucking. This next story is about another man that was
doing good.
An educated, learned man, but he went a little too far. Renowned surgeon, this comes from The Independent. Renowned surgeon Derek McMinn hoarded thousands of body parts over 25 years.
Ooh.
Hip operation pioneer. And that's not, he's not a hip operation pioneer.
He's a hip operation
pioneer.
Very
so
cool.
So he was the first one to discover you can do it with Twizzlers. I don't know what he did, but apparently he was really cool. And him and Posty used to hang
out.
Oh,
really cool. Yeah.
Super chill. Yeah. A world-renowned surgeon collected and stored body parts from thousands of patients over 25 years in a breach of legal and ethical guidelines. Huh. Derek McKinn, who pioneered the hip resurfacing technique that doctors used to resurrect Andy Murray's tennis career.
Oh.
You love him.
I have been saying I have a picture of Andy Murray that I kiss every morning.
I didn't know who that was, but it was nice to see his face all worn down from kissing.
Yes, indeed.
He kept the bones of at least 5,224 patients
Good
that
Lord.
He operated on, some of whom could have been children, despite having no license to store body parts or proper consent from patients. The case has not been referred to police or by the Human Tissue Authority.
There's
which
a Human
know.
Tissue Authority?
Oh, yes. This
the
is in the UK.
HTA?
Yes, the HTA. They're always, because, oh, God.
That's scary.
I hate
Do
going
they have a
through
police
the,
department? There's thousands of police units that we don't even know about.
Going through the HTA at the airport is so fucking demoralizing. How often they squeeze my lump handles and say, ooh, more room for organs. But they've covered this up because he was a very famous doctor. He worked at this place called Edgbaston Hospital in Birmingham, where the surgeon carried out the majority of his operations. He's worked on sports stars, like all sorts of super, super high-end clients.
My question here is, and this is just dipping the toe into this story.
Mm-hmm. Be careful. You might not get that toe back.
Is it? I mean, obviously, so the people don't know he's taking their bones, but they don't need the bones anymore. I don't fully understand, like, how bad is this? I'm literally asking, how bad is this? If I was a juror, I'd be like, Judge, you're going to have to tell me how bad this is, because I don't know.
I'm close to you on this, because I also don't know, but I know it's mostly about consent. It's about the fact that he kept all of these just joint bones and hip meats and all this kind of shit, just like in his house in containers, like stripped down bones. And I think it's because they're not telling people. Well, he kept them quote unquote to keep his mind active when he when he retires. And he says that he's going to do research on the bones. But he was what he called they say that he was the goose that laid the golden egg, because he kind of kept the whole hospital running with his very lucrative hip operation technique, or all this kind of bullshit. And so people came from all across the land to go see him, but he just kept piles and piles of bones at home and in his office. But then I get I get kind of confused, because, you know, our producer and lovely oldest friend in the world, Marcus Sparks.
Those are horse bones.
But, I mean, he's got a human skull. He has human bones.
I don't know if we should say that.
I feel like he purchased them.
I don't know. The revelations, again, they throw a spotlight on safety with private hospitals. Apparently, just months after this story, a jailed breast surgeon, Ian Peterson, carried out unnecessary surgery on more than 1,000 patients. But that, to me, is much worse.
It's something about the ghoulish view of the surgeon being brought into 2020, where like this idea that the surgeon is a sociopath that just looks at us like we're walking lumps of meat.
Well, doctors back in the day used to just be killed because of their very interest inside of our internal organs. I mean, it's a little bit of a dirty practice.
He just had all these piles and piles of bones. But my question is,
he had 20 pots of bones.
He wants to keep doing research after he retires, but I feel like you can do that with books. I feel like you could go back into the hospital and look at bones and people will let you. You're a famous doctor. Maybe, again, I'm crazy. Maybe I don't know.
Well,
but I feel like the bones are like a thing you could get at. It sounds like he's keeping trophies, like he's Jeffrey Dahmer.
Well, he was suspended, so things are going wrong for the guy. The report concluded that Mr. McMinn has and continues to store material, namely tissue, that came from human bodies. It added neither he nor his clinic had a license from the Human Tissue Authority to do so. So the Human Tissue Authority is the mob of human flesh? Is that what that is? Like, you have to pay them off so you can keep a toe?
Yeah, you got to pay the VIG so you can have a collarbone in your house.
Okay, the report was unable to verify how many samples McMinn had, but they say, again, as Henry said, over 5,000, so.
I don't really know why he needed so many.
I think the scariest thing about this story is the human tissue.
Yeah.
The HTA, the Human Tissue Authority, is something, do we need it?
I mean, I guess we do if we got all these just fucking chunks of human tissue hanging out in professors' homes. It sounds like it's more of a witness protection program, but for meat.
According to Ted Baker, he's a professor. He said the chief inspector of the hospital said, quote, "Well, we understand that the BMI's internal investigation incurred delays. It is disappointing that it has taken so long for the findings to be shared with us." I guess so, because he was just working.
But I just don't know. I guess, you know, this is the problem with us doing the show for so long.
Yeah.
Because you really look at it, and I think that there's some people that are screaming. They're screaming right now, being like, how dare you think that this man could be innocent of any crimes? But in my mind, I know that he's guilty of something. But I don't know what it is.
I think it's just because we started this episode. This is a particularly
macabre.
Yeah, it's a dark episode.
Yeah, it's Halloween.
So we started with the Marty Jannetty story, which was actually extremely dark. And
barreled
right into that. So that's how we started. And then we've been talking about beheadings and murder. And this guy, the patient. He helped the patients, and then he was just like, "And I'll take a little bit." It's like taking a Big Mac home when you work at McDonald's. Are you gonna arrest me?
But do you take the Big Mac out of somebody else's order? I feel like America can understand.
That's a good point.
America can understand that crime far easier than it's just a bone.
But what if you get the order wrong? I didn't want pickles. Oh, I put one with pickles on. I'm gonna put that over here in the freezer for later.
Yeah, which is what you can do then. If he was in a constant revolving system of taking a hip bone from the previous surgery and then being like, "Oh, would you believe I'll find an extra hip bone in there?" And they're all like, "Hey, mind if I take that, pop this one back in, Lori?" You know, they'll all be like, "Sure thing, Dr. McMinn."
Yeah.
If there's extra, yeah, absolutely take the extra.
Well, either way, don't worry, folks. The spokesperson said of the group, "Would like to apologize for this surgeon's completely unacceptable and distressing actions in the years."
Thank God we got it. I'm sorry. Because that, to me, that's as good as having all the bones back.
Yeah, they say we will leave no stone unturned investigating.
I bet.
These historic issues.
Absolutely no bucket unfouled.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, I guess that this guy is just very lucky that we started this episode off with such horrible stories. Otherwise, Derek McMinn, he would be the grossest one.
But no, he's like the third grossest we've covered today. So yes, yeah. I guess that's really what it is. It's about framing. It's the framing of it, because his crimes are not quite as bad as boiling your fucking father's new girlfriend's head in a pot and just leaving it to simmer.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I agree.
Look at this story here. This is a palate cleanser. Five foul-mouthed parrots have to be separated at Lincolnshire Zoo after teaching each other how to swear.
Oh, that's so cute.
This comes from The Sun, our favorite newspaper. The parrots named Billy, Eric, Tyson, Jade, and Elsie.
Aww.
They join the Lincolnshire Wildlife Park colony of 200 gray parrots in August. Cute. They said that it started to swear at staff and visitors. We saw it very quickly. We are quite used to parrots swearing, but we've never had five at the same time. Most parrots clam up outside, but for some reason, these five relish it. And they just went ballistic. They were all swelling. And it's like, we were a little concerned about the children because I get called a fat tot every time I walk past.
Is that what it is? A fat tot?
I think that's a tart. Tart.
It was like star, tart. Is that bad of a word?
I might be, yeah. When a parrot tells you to tell you to fuck off, it amuses people very highly. And they don't like it.
Why? This should be an exhibit.
I want to hear, honestly, though. It depends on what the curse words are. Isn't that apparently true?
Oh no, they just say fuck. Yeah, I mean, honestly.
I mean, fuck is a fun word, and in England you can drink.
And
you can drink at the zoo if you're 13 in England.
This might sound completely juvenile and dare I say half stupid. If anybody knows out there, do the parrots know they're swearing? Do the parrots know they're swearing? Because they do feel do not.
I honestly, you know what?
Do they know they're swearing? Because I feel like intent matters in the law.
I do.
And if these parrots don't know it's a curse word.
Well, because, you know, like a dog, once it understands a certain behavior gets a certain reaction, like it does the same behavior. Like Wendy really has fully, when we are in the kitchen, no matter what, right? Even if Wendy's already eaten or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
She comes to the kitchen and the performance, the only way to describe, you know that picture that one that National Geographic of like the crying girl with the very blue eyes with the shawl on.
Yes.
That's like what Wendy mimics. She does this thing. She like faces away from each other, looks behind her shoulder and goes like, I have never eaten before in my life. And I now know at first it seemed natural. And then you started watching me like, oh, this is an act.
This is an act. They're totally fine.
They are manipulating two apex predators.
Our dogs are very well fed.
Almost two.
Yeah. That's what the doctor says anyway. But apparently most parrots clam up when they get outside, but not these five. They relish it. I put them on exhibit. Send them to the theater.
America will take them.
Absolutely.
I like my parrots as fucking, I want them to be nasty.
I agree. Well, speaking of America, America's pastime, baseball. Former Dodgers pitcher Charles Hager.
Oh, yeah, it is with baseball, man.
Yeah, you know.
Out there you get the peanuts. I remember my father used to take the game,
not the fan watching the game.
No,
baseball,
yes.
Baseball, the actual game itself.
My
the four
father
bases
used to take me into Shea Stadium back in the day, right? And we didn't need tickets because they used to respect the boys in blue, so we used to just walk past the turnstile.
Technically, that was your father abusing his power.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But it benefited me. He used to show his badge at the thing, and we just walk right on through. And I remember it was the first time I had waffle fries. And I remember sitting and being so excited about the waffle fries, and I go and you know be like, daddy, you want waffle fries? Yeah. And father's just like, let's just see, don't you want to watch some of the games? Being like, I would be so much more amenable to your games, father, if I could just get a little bit. We have waffle fries.
Just give the kid spicy the waffle fries.
Yeah, man, because that's really all I was going to the game for.
No, of course. No, if I ever had a child, I would definitely go. You go to the concession stand first.
Oh, no, that's what we had to.
Then you sit the fat kid down.
My father was trying to get me to like baseball, but the whole time I was just thinking about hot dogs.
Charles Hager, maybe you would have liked it if Charles Hager was pitching that day. He has been sought in the killing of his ex-girlfriend. Mm. He was then found dead on Saturday with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. So, hey, you don't think the Dodgers can hit? Okay, there we go with
hey,
that.
Whoa. This Hager's is some kind body. Of, he must be some kind of season finisher.
Hager's body was discovered about 4 p.m. on a trail alongside the South Rim of the Grand Canyon.
Honestly, though, if you're going to kill yourself, what a nice place.
I guess so. He killed Daniel Breed. She was 34 years old. She was the owner of the Tipsy Coyote Bar and Grill in Scottsdale, which I'm sure was a great place.
God, I just want to be. I want to be at the Tipsy Cowgirls. What do you call it? The Tipsy Coyote.
I want to be where the people are.
I want to be in Scottsdale, Arizona, just sitting there, just slugging a big old fucking 48-ouncer of fucking BL, man. Ooh, I miss a bar.
I do, too.
I miss it inside of a bar.
I do, too. Hager was a pitcher. He was drafted by the Chicago White Sox in 2001, but he sucked. He only played 83 innings in the majors.
Yeah, he wasn't good.
No, he's so
which
honestly.
Which is us funny us saying that, because even to just be a baseball player in the
He was horrible.
I almost said NBA and the NFL.
He was 2-7 with a 6.40 ERA. He is literally horrible. How did he even hit anything?
But he did a really good
shoot
job.
Shoot anything.
Technically, that is far better than we'd ever do. He went all the way to Major League Baseball just to suck and still probably mopped up more butt than anybody possible.
According to investigations, he emerged from the victim's bedroom with a handgun. Hager then pointed the handgun at a roommate. The roommate quickly escaped out of the back of the residence.
Whoa, I didn't say anything about your ERA.
And he was able to get a neighbor to call 911. They found him dead. They found her dead, and then they found him dead with a bullet in the brain. Dare I say, someone who took the law into his own hands multiple times.
Yep.
And it's very unfortunate because we love our small business owners, and we especially love our bar owners. And so if this bar is still around in Flagstaff, Arizona,
Scottsdale, isn't Micah
the Tipsy
from
Coyote
Scottsdale?
Bar and Grill in Scottsdale. Yes, Scottsdale, Micah Fox, a fantastic comedian. Check her out on everything. All right.
Well, I think it's time for Hero of the Week.
Yeah, oh, really? Have we already gotten there?
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, my God.
I think it's time.
Well, as macabre as this episode has been, we are going to do a true hero this week.
Wow, we're actually going to steep into our good emotions?
Yes, and of course, this person probably won't be able to listen to this episode because of what we've talked about. But nonetheless, mm-hmm. Jabri Parks, who has epilepsy, wanted his wish to help others in need. So this is a Make-A-Wish. And usually, and of course, this is no problem whatsoever, but usually Make-A-Wish kids, they want to see John Cena or Roman Reigns
or Aaron Rodgers, or maybe...
A sports hero or a celebrity of sorts. But this person, Jabri Parks, is earning that title for being brave by helping others and being selfless on a day that was supposed to be about him. Isn't this sweet? Mm. The South Philadelphia teen has epilepsy. He's been suffering from seizures since he was 2 years old. He was receiving a Make-A-Wish, and he knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to dress up as a superhero for the day and hit the streets of Philly, helping and feeding the city's homeless. Very wonderful,
Jabri. That is
Jabri.
Nice. What a nice story you just told.
It really is nice. Dennis Herron, the president and CEO of Make-A-Wish Philadelphia, he says he could have taken his family on vacation. I mean, if I'm his family, I'm like, wait, could have gone on vacation. But okay, all right, that's fine.
He could have taken
his family on vacation. He could have met with his favorite recording artist or athlete. They could have had a swimming pool in the backyard, whatever it might have been. I didn't realize you could get a swimming pool in the backyard for Make-A-Wish. That's cool.
That's actually a pretty good get.
And he goes on to say, instead, he flipped the switch, and Jabri is providing us with hope. Jabri's wish led to the donation of supplies of 300 box lunches to Project Home and Hub of Hope with the support of Wawa and the local organization. So they're eating the Wawa roller dogs.
That's great.
Yes, indeed. This is what Jabri said. He said, it is important for me to help people because when I was 3 years old, I had seizures and I couldn't help myself. Oh. And then he said, but my mom helped me and I want to give back. Isn't that sweet?
That's so nice.
Yes, according
to what's also cool? But then I thought he said he was going to drive it like he dressed as a superhero and he stopped the cartels. That would be incredible. That's a fun story.
Jabri's mother said, I applaud him. I think his character is more ambitious than anybody who would think from a 13-year-old. Wawa is making a contribution of $2,500 in Jabri's honor to Project Home. So Jabri Parks, you are Hero of the Week. And honestly, not to be too capitalist on this flip, but get a GoFundMe. We can get you some money. We can get him some
it's
money.
It's always good to figure out some way. You got to get new income flows.
Yes, indeed. What a strange episode it's been. That was maybe the sweetest one we've read so far.
We went from probably one of the most grossest, unrepentant, disgusting episodes of the show, and then we did one of the only true, genuine moments of joy.
Jabri Parks.
And guess what? That's what you get here. At LPN.
Absolutely.
We want the news you can use. It's all about training your mind, the muscles of your mind, by just kind of dragging you back and forth.
Yes, indeed.
So
we got those walls.
Some letters.
We got a lot of response about the breakdown of Asian stars committing suicide within 3 days.
All the K-pop stars.
But it wasn't just K-pop, because I know one was from Japan, and we were just remarking that it was just kind of crazy that it all happened at once.
Yes.
Like it wasn't necessarily you're all from the same. But this is from a listener that lives in Korea.
Oh, also, I have to amend something. I said Ron Perlman on a show. Lou Perlman. Ron Perlman, of course.
Ron Perlman is a
wonderful
saint.
Actor. Wonderful actor, yes.
I live in Korea, and I think Korea as a country has one of the highest suicide rates in the world.
Ooh.
This is mostly due to their extreme work culture and unwillingness to acknowledge mental illness in any form. I teach tons of kids who have behavioral issues, which will most likely never be resolved due to it being seen as an imperfection in the child, and thus would bring embarrassment and pity to the parents and family.
I wish that would stop. Well, think about all the art that they can create and all the good things they can have. All the beautiful minds out there.
Every artist you've ever known is crippled with mental illness.
Yes, indeed.
Now, as far as pop stars, many of them do start out working for entertainment companies from their preteens. They live in dorms, barely see their family, have intense diet and exercise regimens, and when they get older, they are forbidden to date. Not to mention their extreme appearance schedules.
Why are they forbidden to date? So the audience will be like, I think I got a chance.
I honestly think so. It's like what happened. Hitler famously did that too.
Really?
The John Lennon. He didn't want anybody to know about Eva Braun because he wanted to be a sex symbol. He was a weird sex symbol.
Ugh.
It takes all types. That's why I say, dudes, if you're lonely, just hold out.
Yeah, okay.
These pop stars have impossible standards to live up to. And I'm fairly certain many of them are in the closet, so they must deny their true identities for the fans. So it's just tough on them
in
general.
Sounds horrible, yeah.
It's just very, very true. So basically they go on to say...
It sounds like Marilyn Monroe's era of Hollywood.
They really drive them hard, and maybe it seems like that's one aspect of why they might commit suicide more often than not.
I mean, honestly, if you want your entertainers to perform, this is the fine line. I mean, you look at someone like Joe Jackson. You look at someone like Ike Turner. The result was, oh, wow, Jackson 5 and Tina Turner. But the reality is you could have gotten that result by being not at all nearly as abusive.
Well, plenty of people were beaten and did not become celebrities.
Exactly.
So I was at my mom's house the other day, and we got talking on the subject of dreams, specifically weird dreams.
Oh, that's nice to have a mother like that you can do that with.
It is. It really is. I don't tell my mom my dreams.
No.
Mostly because sometimes my dreams... the content becomes a little irresponsible. Irresponsible? She said she had a very strange dream, which is unusual for her because she never has strange dreams or even likes to talk about dreams in general. This seems the same for this person.
Mm-hmm.
She described how she saw a tall blonde person wearing all white, like a tunic almost, standing in front of her, arms outstretched, beckoning to her, telling her to come with them. She said she was sure she must have been talking or yelling in her sleep because of how fervently she was telling the person, no!
Whoa!
I prodded a little further without telling her where I was going with the questions, and I confirmed with her that the person was tall, blonde, and all in white. She said yes, and I told her it sounded like the alien race, the tall whites, and I told her a little bit about them. She reacted in a frightened way, which I was surprised about because I thought she would just laugh because she, you know, absolutely does not believe in aliens or anything spiritual or anything like that.
Well, she's cool. Yeah, she's normal.
But this clearly had her shaken.
Oh!
Which I think says something about the experience itself that affected that much.
Okay, well, what a great dream that sounds like. Doesn't sound that bad. Honestly, she just hung out with a bunch of tall whites.
It does.
It's your whole life.
I just tell you, I'm hanging out with one.
Okay.
I am an EMT currently working in a large county in North Carolina. You don't have to work in EMS for a lengthy amount of time to amass a collection of weird, crazy stories. This particular story happened about a year into my career. One morning, my partner and I were checking off our truck before the beginning of our shift. Basically, just going through and making sure all of our equipment was functional, the lights and sirens are in working order, etc. My partner that day was one of my best friends, and we were extremely good at communicating with each other about what kind of calls we were comfortable running.
Okay.
For example, I hate eye injuries. They've always grossed me the fuck out. So we had a deal that if we were dispatched to any eye injuries, she would take the patient to prevent me from having to deal with it.
Interesting.
That's interesting. On this particular morning, my partner decided she liked to add to the list of calls that we'd switch patients for. My partner was a raging lesbian and had their request is that if we get any nasty vajayjay calls, that I should take them because she didn't want NAM flashbacks when she was trying to fuck her girlfriend.
Okay, interesting.
Being a bisexual female, I completely understood and agreed to take these types of calls. What I did not consider, however, was the fact that I also like dick. I did not make the counter agreement that she take all the nasty pee-pee calls. That was my first mistake.
What is going on in the break room at this damn EMT place?
This is very fun.
Okay.
About an hour later, we got our first call. We were eating breakfast at the time, so we scarfed down all what we could and ran out to the truck. My partner had the radio and ran to the side of the rig to start driving to the dispatch address. Normally, you would tell dispatch that you were en route to the call, and they'd give you a rundown of what kind of call you were going to. It's called a short report. I couldn't hear the radio over the sound of the engine, but what I could hear was my partner hysterically laughing from the other side of the truck. It took her a solid 5 minutes to stop cry laughing long enough to tell me what kind of call we were going to. It was a routine, meaning no lights or sirens, sick call. 30-year-old male with swollen penis.
Uh-oh.
That was all the information that they got.
Well, now she should be doing the penises if the other chick's doing the vaginas.
But right now we're just hearing swollen.
Okay.
So maybe it's filled with M&Ms.
Could be.
We arrived on scene to find the aforementioned 30-year-old male sitting in a chair within his mother's kitchen. I walk in trying to maintain my professionalism and act like we didn't spend the last 15 minutes making dick jokes in the truck on the way to this house. I ask him, "So what's going on today, sir?" He looks up at me and mumbles,
Yeah. You ever heard of a priapism? You know, a priapism is a medical term for erection lasting more than 4 hours, and it's not typically a word most people know.
Oh,
which okay. Let me know that this man has probably been WebMDing this shit already. And I told him, yes, I'm familiar. He says,
oh, okay, good. Well, see, I did a shit ton of cocaine yesterday. My dick got real hard, real fast, right? And now it won't go down.
With the cocaine.
I guess so. Although he couldn't advise me on exactly how much a shit ton of cocaine was. After hearing this, I had to look at the man in the face and while keeping my composure, ask him if he had tried to jack off in an attempt to combat the erection. At this point, I could hear my partner behind me trying not to laugh, which made the situation that much worse. He said that he had tried to masturbate and it hadn't worked. There isn't much I can do for this guy at this point except make sure all of his vital signs are stable and give him a ride to the hospital. So that's what we did. So we take him to the doctor, we transferred. About 3 hours later, we went back to the same hospital to take in another patient. On the way back to our truck, the doctor we had seen earlier in the day stopped us. Y'all brought the guy in with the priapism in, right?
The boner, yeah.
Yeah, that was us. Why? The doctor then informs us that they placed a total of 4 20-gauge IV needles into the man's shaft in an attempt to drain the blood from his penis and get it to go down. However, it hasn't worked out. In fact, his Magic Johnson was twice the size it was when we left him a few hours earlier.
What's happening?
The doctor then told us that the next step would be to inject epinephrine directly into his penis to dilate the blood vessels and try to drain the blood that way. If that didn't work, they would have no choice but to prep him for surgery, the surgery that would remove all of the erectile tissue from the man's penis, which would essentially have him unable to have sex again. We stood outside the hospital.
What kind of cocaine was this?
Oh my God. One of the doctors, this massive discolored penis, one of the doctors drew up the appropriate amount of epinephrine and injected into the base of his penis. There was silence as we all waited to see if this man was about to lose his dick. A minute goes by, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. You could feel the tension rising, pun intended, in the room. 10 minutes later, the doctor takes off his gloves, throws them in the trash, and says, go ahead and prep him for surgery.
No! He lost his penis!
Moral of the story, don't do cocaine.
What was in the cocaine?
I don't know.
I have a feeling it was cut with something that maybe wasn't necessarily good.
I don't know.
For the human body.
But wowee,
don't do cocaine. Be very careful out
wowee,
there. Wow.
Wow. Wow. Well, can you imagine that call?
I actually am happy that they have a bit of a sense of humor. And at some point, we're all going to meet an EMT. It's not going to be our greatest moment. We'll probably be covered in poop after we fell. And we're like, I couldn't get up.
Help me. Help me.
You can tell some jokes.
I mean, honestly.
I'm going to tell jokes because it's going to be very uncomfortable.
It's weird because I don't like a funny dentist, but I love a funny EMT.
Because it's got to be something weird. It's going to be something weird.
Something's going to happen. I'm going to get caught in a rail. The next thing you know, my stepson's going to be railing on me from behind. I've seen these videos. They keep popping up.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Side Stories.
This week's Side Stories. Check out this week. We want to say thank you to everybody who joined us for Haunt Your House last week on Twitch. It was a massive success. We raised the money that we were looking for, $2,700 for being our hero. This week, check out, we have hosts Ed Larson, Amber Nelson, Jackie Zabrowski, and I believe Holden McNeely. They are going to be doing Haunt Your House with the movie called Werewolf in the Girls' Dormitory. It's going to get saucy.
Ooh.
Hashtag go on twitch.tv/lastpodcastnetwork this Saturday at 6 p.m. EST, 9 p.m. EST, and all of the proceeds go to the American Diabetes Association.
Awesome.
Because that is the disease that is going to kill the majority of the hosts on LPN.
Absolutely. And seriously, from the bottom of our hearts, I know we talk about some macabre things.
We talk a lot of mess.
We talk a lot of mess. We try to bring light into the darkness because we all have to get through this life one way or another. Might as well do it laughing.
Laughing, screaming.
So our goal was 2,000 for being Arts Hero. And we got to 2,000, no exaggeration, probably 23 minutes in to when we were doing it. And then we got all the way up to 2,700. That is unbelievably sweet of you all. And so we're doing good things despite some of the content. We're doing good things.
Well, for our minds and our even worse voices,
we have good voices.
You do.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do here is equalize our carbon footprint socially and spiritually with our actions. Because I believe I love a satanic charity drive. Nothing suits me more than the idea of the two dichotomies fighting each other. I love that these people have to take our money. They love it too. They because like trying to describe to charities like who we are and what we do, and then go, oh, okay, because they know they have to take the money.
Money knows no creed.
Because also we don't give anything that's connected to God. I don't believe in any charity that's connected to Jesus.
Well,
Christ.
I don't believe that most of them are not on the up and up. Perhaps there are some out there, but a lot of the research has shown there's a lot of bureaucracy that money goes to. But all of the money that you give to us, it goes obviously directly to these charities.
So live your life every day knowing that you're going to have to equal out all of the sins of your past with every action of your future.
Sure.
Always strive to be better, faster, stronger, more charitable, kinder, but also more devious.
Are you Vince McMahon?
Yep.
What's going on?
I'm filled with my own personal energy drink, which is what I call my cum.
Oh.
And I want you to live. You got to laugh. Again, what we were saying, because if you don't laugh, sometimes you're just going to cry.
You're going to cry.
And you know what? I hate crying.
Unless, of course, you're watching the Mr. Rogers documentary,
then
in which case
you cry. Then it forces it out of you.
It does. Or the documentary Gleason. Sometimes I put on sad docs just so I can cry. It's
nice.
Extremely difficult.
Because it clears out the ducts so we don't get duct cancer.
Yes. I don't understand people who just cry. I don't get it.
They seem to be free with their emotions. And love. Love knowing that we are getting closer to Halloween. Halloween's going to be fun year. This is a fun year. We're trying to make it fun as much as humanly possible, even though we physically can't have all the fun that we want to have. We're going to do our best to ring as much fun from the season as we can.
All right, everyone. Thank you all for listening. Hope you're doing okay out there. Hail yourself.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations. Be careful with the cocaine. Be careful with it.
Stick to weed and coffee.
Honestly, no lie, Rockstar energy drink.
You've been slugging them down.
They work better than cocaine.
5-hour energy drink always does it for me.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.